be doing. We saw in Acts 1 that when we accept Christ, all are empowered by the Holy Spirit to reach this lost world. We saw last week that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, each and every one of us is empowered by God to reach this lost world. There we go. That's a little better. We're told how to reach and where to reach, and wherever we go, we are to be a witness for the Lord. We are all to be full-time gospel spreaders for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We learned in Matthew. We were commissioned further to make disciples, baptize them, baptize these disciples, and teach these new disciples everything Jesus has commanded us to observe through His Word. Church, I understand this scripture wholeheartedly. I believe with all of my heart that we should try our best to reach every lost person in this world with the gospel of Christ. But let me ask you a question. How do you reach those who don't want to be reached? How do you do it? Do you understand that we are still under the obligation of God to reach those who do not want to be reached? We're obligated. Brother Kyle, I'm sick of this, and I'm sick of this, and I'm sick of this group, and I'm sick of that group, and I don't like the way they talk about us Christians. It doesn't matter. You're still called by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by our Savior Himself, to reach those people. What do they look like? Lee, how about showing us what these people might look like? Open your Bibles within 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're called by Jesus to reach those who even don't want to be reached. How do we do this? How in the world do we do this? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as a spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I fed you milk, not solid food, because you were not yet able to receive it. In fact, you are still not able because you are still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife among you, and you're not fleshly and living like ordinary people. For whenever someone says, I am with Paul, and another, I am with Apollos, and are you not the typical man? Listen, stop right there. And if you have a pen, write here, because this was an ongoing situation with the church that day. People were arguing, well, I'm with Apollos, I'm with Paul. Listen, there should be no doubt who your allegiance is to, and that is Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is saying here, and he's getting ready to solidify it with the next words. Listen, our Lord is who we side with. We don't side with culture. We don't side with what's popular. We don't side with what's political. We side with Jesus. Amen? We side with the Word of God. And if you don't side with the Word of God, you are on sinking sand. You have no solid foundation whatsoever at all. So listen to the rest of what he said here. He says, so what is Apollos? And what is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each has a role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God. But God. Hey, listen, we could go to town right there. I could preach on those two words right there for the rest of the sermon. But God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who gives the growth. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this is your time. These are the words that you put on my heart. God, I pray that there won't be any moving around right now. I pray, Lord God, that you would just rest our hearts, open our eyes and our ears and our minds. Help us to be receptive to who you are and what you want us to hear, God. And that's your word. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I pray, as I've been praying for a long time, I pray, God, in the pits of the despair of our nation, that you would allow one last great revival, one last great harvest of souls, Lord, before you return. Let us be the ones who started here this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Let me ask this question before I go any further, before I take one step further in this sermon. Do you want to be a witness for the Lord? Do you really want to do what He has asked you, not asked you to do, but has commanded each of us who call ourselves Christians to do? If you call yourself a Christian and do not have a desire to make the one who redeemed you known, I doubt very seriously you're saved. Quiet. Let me say that again. If you do not have a desire to make Jesus known, I doubt that you're saved. I doubt very seriously you're saved. Listen, you might as well pull out your phone right now and start playing with it, or better yet, just leave, because what I'm about to preach is not going to interest you whatsoever at all. How do you reach people who don't want to be reached? How do you do it? Now, let me tell you my struggle. Last week when all the Supreme Court ruling came out and we had, I mean, the world was just upside down and we were all just emotionally just raw. My wife comes up to me, and God gave her to me, Ricky, for a very good reason. And she looked at me, and she didn't point her finger, but she might as well have, because the tone of her voice let me know that she was pointing her finger. You know what I'm talking about, Bill? Yeah. And she said, you don't need to preach on any of this week. You need to let it settle down. You need to digest. You need to see exactly what's taking place before you say anything. And I'm thankful for that. Do you remember saying that? Okay, I'm just checking. I do too. I do too. We don't need to act spontaneously. Amen? We need to do what God has called us to do. Now, church, I want you I want to stand here this morning and tell you that as your pastor, I'm struggling. And my struggle is very real. And to be honest, I don't know that I have ever struggled with any issue more than the one I'm dealing with today. This is my struggle. How do you reach the lost world as Christ commands us to stand boldly on His Word and His Word alone and reach those who make a mockery of everything that I believe and a mockery of everything the Bible says is true? How do you do it? Now, Tony deals with young people on a daily basis. Tony, you probably have the same question, don't you? How in the world do we reach them? Those who don't want to be reached. How does the church reach people who do not and will not accept the Word of God as the true written Word of God? How can we reach people who call the Bible a myth written by a bunch of drunk fishermen who were too weak and needed a crutch, so they created this God fella named Jesus, and now they claim this book is written for him and by him? How do you reach them? Where do you get the desire to even want to try? How, church, do you reach a group that have removed themselves so far from the true love of God that they desire others who are of their same sex? These people, when faced with scriptural truths concerning sin, are quick to ask, why is my sin different from your sin? Doesn't Scripture say that all sin is equal in the eyes of the Lord? Listen, I have dealt with this question, and I've seen it time and time and time again, and it's time that we answer it from the pulpit. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 says this. This is why God delivered them over to degrading passions. For even their females exchanged natural sexual intercourse with what is unnatural. The males in the same way also left natural sexual intercourse with females and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Males committed shameless acts with males and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty for their perversion. And because they did not think it worthwhile to have God in their knowledge, God delivered them over to a worthless mind to do what was morally wrong. They were filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. Now, some of you are going to sit here and say what I've seen on, I read the news articles. I read the news articles on the internet, and this is the greatest response that I see. Jesus didn't say that. Paul said that. Jesus didn't say that. Paul said that. Listen to me, church. Paul is never going to say anything that goes against what Jesus believes. Never. Well, hold on a second. I don't believe that, Brother Kyle. Then you do not believe the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. If you don't believe that this Word is God's written Word, you don't believe that it's the inerrant Word of God. Furthermore, I say Jesus didn't write it. So if Jesus didn't say anything about it, he must not have, you know, he probably would have changed his mind. Please understand this. In the Old Testament, oh, here we go with the Old Testament. Yeah, it's relevant. It's still relevant today. Do you hear me? Listen, God is a part of a three-person Trinity. Did you know that? Jesus is a part of a three-person Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a part of a three-person Trinity, right? Listen, I believe they covered the topic of homosexuality pretty good in the Old Testament, don't you? Without doubt. Well, yeah, but he didn't say anything about it in the New Testament. The Jesus defined what marriage is in Mark chapter 10 to a T. You might want to write that down. Mark chapter 10 to a T. Listen, we shouldn't have any questions here this morning. Now, church, nowhere in Scripture, aren't all sins equal in the eyes of the Lord? Listen to me. Nowhere in Scripture do I see God delivering people over to a reprobate mind or removing His hand from them from any other sin than homosexuality. But, listen to me, nowhere do I see God removing His hand from them. In any other sin, I can't explain it, I'm not God. God's not, I don't know God's ways, and God doesn't know, He doesn't respect my ways. God is God. I don't understand it. But, listen to me, but we are commanded to reach them. Do you hear me? Is homosexuality wrong? It's not my opinion. Is it a sin? That's the problem. We have a sin problem in this world. According to God's word, yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we're to go out and point at them and tell them, you're a sinner, 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 you're a sinner. No! No, 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 no. Scripture doesn't say that. But we're to reach them. How do you reach a group of people who do not want to be reached? Brother Kyle, you've asked that question several times. We're going to get to it. Because this isn't the only people that need to be reached. It's the one that this world is focused on in America right now. Highly focused. Too focused. Listen, how do we reach strippers for Jesus? Well, hey, God didn't call me to reach strippers. He called us to reach the lost in this world. Can I tell you a secret? Karen, Jesus loves strippers. Did you know that, Ricky? Jesus loves every single person who's ever walked this face of the earth. Straight, homosexual, transgender. He loves them all. Loves every one of them. How do we reach strippers? How do we reach people who are just addicted to alcohol and addicted to drugs? How do we reach them, Ricky? Where do we start? Listen, how do we reach those who are atheists? Who don't want to hear anything of what you have to say? How in the world do you reach them? Y'all know how I like to get close to home as I possibly can, right? Let's get as close to home as we can. Let's get a little closer. How can we reach our own children who were raised in church? They've made public professions of faith, but show little signs of inward possession of the Holy Spirit. Listen, who have reached the age to make their own decisions, and the decisions they're making are self-pleasing, not self-sacrificing. Oh, yes, we're commanded to reach these people as well. Church, how do we do it? How do we do it? We're commanded. We can't turn our eye. We can't say, no, I'm not going to reach this person. I'm not going to reach that person. We can't put ourselves in the box and say, and this is what a lot of Baptist churches do. This is what a lot of churches do. They say, if they come to us, we'll go to them. I don't believe that's scriptural. As a matter of fact, that is not scriptural. We're to go to them whether they come to us or not. And we don't come to them in the name of Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. We come to them in the name of Jesus Christ. So, how are we to reach them? Well, we just saw it in 1 Corinthians just a few minutes ago, chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. What do you do? Number one, you have complete confidence that they can be reached because Jesus would not have given us a task that is unobtainable. Did y'all hear that? Jesus would not have told us to do something that is not possible for us to do. He told us to reach this lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for us to look at any people group, I don't care who they are, what color they are, what they look like, pretty, ugly, skinny, fat. Hey, listen, Jesus said for us to reach them all. All. If it's not possible, Steve, he wouldn't have said for us to do it, right? Only logical. So what do we do? What's the first step that we take? Well, you know, he used an illustration of gardening. And y'all know how I love to garden. You know the first thing you need to do before you do anything with the garden? You got to till the soil. So the first thing that we have to do to reach people who don't want to be reached, we have got, church, listen, we've got to till the soil. Listen, start reaching. Start reaching. Do something. Do anything. Start with something easy. God will open a door for you to when you're ready to move forward. Listen, don't overreach your abilities. I've seen people do this. They hear a message like this one and they get on fire and say, I'm going to go start knocking on doors, door to door, tomorrow. Listen, if God's not ready for you to do that, you're going to go out there and you're going to fail. You're going to get knocked in the head. Somebody might even shoot you in this day we live in. And you're going to say, that's not for me. Don't overreach, but you've got to reach. Do something. Start with something small, like Awana. We're always in need of more leaders, are we not, Bill? All we have to do is order you a uniform, teach you how to love kids. Hey, why is that easy, Brother Kyle? Because these children come to church knowing that they're going to hear about Jesus. So when you talk to them about Jesus, it's non-confrontational, right? Here's another one. Come to Care. If all of you came to Care on a Tuesday night or a Monday night, your preacher would have a heart attack and die. I would. And listen, it's non-evasive. Ricky, you can write a card and that person never hears your voice. You can mess up a card and throw it in the trash can. We don't charge for those, do we? You can write three cards and just throw them in the trash. But that one card that you write, you're telling somebody about Jesus Christ. It's not evasive. It's non-confrontational. It's at a distance away. It's easy. But he gives us another illustration here. He says, plant the gospel. Plant. Now, I want y'all to envision with me here. Y'all with me? I've got a little planter here. And I'm going to set it right here because I've got to come over here. And this is just a pot, little pot. And I'm going to reach down and I'm going to grab some soil and I'm going to put some soil in the pot. And the pot's like this and I'm going to fill it up right about here. Okay? Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Still awake? And then I'm going to reach in my pocket here, and I'm going to grab some seeds, and I'm going to sprinkle the seeds on top of the dirt. Okay? Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab a little more dirt, and I'm going to put it on top of the seeds. And I'm not going to press it down, but I'm going to, I'm going to leave about this much off the top. Okay? Now, I've got a jalapeno plant. I love jalapenos. Okay, jalapeno cheddar cornbread, kumbaya, my Lord. It's a plant. See, I've got another little pot right here, and I'm going to take some dirt, and I'm going to put it in the plant, in the pot, and I'm going to fill it up about like that. And then now I'm going to take my plant, and I'm going to put it in the pot right here, and I'm going to hold it steady, and I'm going to get some more dirt and put it around it, just where it's the top of the soil level of the jalapeno plant. Some people go up to the first leaf. I just go to the bottom of the plant. Now I've got seeds in one, and I've got a jalapeno plant that's this tall. Y'all see it? It's nice, isn't it? In about 90 days, it's going to start producing. Brother Kyle, you're crazy. What are you trying to tell us here? Did this look hard to you? Did planting a seed look hard to you? Did it look difficult?
I can't plant a seed.
Was it hard? Listen, this Brother Kyle's got a garden, always had a garden. If it's hard, I can't do it. Was it hard to plant the plant? No. Do you know what distresses people the most? It's not planting the seed, Gary. It's not planting the plant. It's getting your hands dirty. It's getting your hands dirty. Well, I don't want to get my hands dirty. Well, you're not much of a Christian. Christianity and witnessing and winning people to the Lord is a dirty job. Well, how do I do this? How do I plant seeds? Well, I've told you in times past. How do you plant a seed? Well, a seed is the starting point of a beautiful plant. It's just the starting point. Well, what do? Wear a t-shirt that says Jesus loves you. Planting is not hard. Karen, is that hard? All you do is you wake up in the morning and you get up out of bed. And what's the first thing you do when you get up out of bed? Brush your stinking teeth. You put some deodorant on. And you put a t-shirt on. It says, Jesus loves you. Miss Desi, is that hard? You're planting a seed. Anybody who sees that day, you're either going to brighten them up or somebody's going, they're going to have to think when they see that. As you walk out the door, there's a whole bulletin board that Poppy built for us that's holding gospel tracts. I should have to fill that thing up every other week. It's easy. If all of y'all grab two tracts and just go to Walmart and stick them on somebody's windshield, you're planting a seed. What if they wad it up and throw it in the trash can? You've done your job. All you did was plant a seed. Plant a seed. That's it. Plant a seed. Listen, take a picture of a same-sex couple standing in front of the courthouse, shake their hands, and tell them you are a born-again Christian, that you don't agree with their choices that they're making, but most definitely that you love them and Jesus loves them. I've gotten some slack over that, church. Jesus loves them. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Church, it's not hard to sow seeds. It's not hard to plant seeds. We're called to do something. Need to plant seeds. Now, sow the seeds, Christians. God, when we sow, God has promised someone else will come by and water that seed that you planted. Did y'all know that? Did y'all read that in 1 Corinthians? He tells us to sow the seed, plant the seed. And he promises in his word that somebody will come by and water that little seed. Then God has also made another promise that he'll make it grow. He'll make it grow. Now, you have to understand something. This is a part of God's process. Does it not blow your mind that he wants to use us as part of this process? Us. He wants to use us. This past year, I planted potatoes early. My potatoes did good. I planted white potatoes, and I planted red potatoes. Y'all love them red potatoes with your low country boil, don't you? Right behind the potatoes, I planted a short row, about like from here to here, of Blue Lake green beans. Love those Blue Lake green beans. Anybody plant any of those? None of you? Okay, they're the wide ones. Miss Peggy, that's what Miss Peggy plants, Lamar. Those Blue Lake green beans. How do you know? I called her and asked her. But this is what happened. I planted them. Just a bean. I read the back of the package and it said, plant between 1 and 2 inches in depth. I planted them. One of them came up. Everything else came up was a weed. That's not funny. Y'all were hateful. I planted it. I wanted it, and I planted it in great expectations that it was going to grow. It was going to be a green bean plant. I was going to throw a trellis up over on the back side of it. And when I wanted fresh cut Blue Lake green beans, I was going to go out there and I was going to pick them dudes and I was going to string them. I was going to snap them. I was going to put them in a pot of boiling water, a little bit of bacon grease. And I was going to have me some Blue Lake green beans with whatever else I wanted to eat. Those things are good. Red, who said that? That's good, Miss Barbara. Man, you need to talk. I planted the seed. What I planted didn't grow. I did my part, Mr. White. That's all I can do is plant the seed. I can't do anything else. Church, that's what God is telling us to do, plant the seed. He said, look, just plant the seed. If what doesn't grow, what you planted doesn't grow, you're not going to be held accountable. But you are going to be held accountable if you don't plant a seed. We need to plant the gospel every single day. Well, how we get the way we get at times causes problems. Y'all understand that? It does. Now listen, I love to grow plants. I have a garden, but I have a tendency to become impatient when it does not rain as much as I think my plants need to be watered. And I'll get out there last year when I planted my potatoes. They started wilting. And I'd go out there and I'd water them dudes. And Brandon, I had potatoes that were this big this year. Last year I had potatoes that were that big. It's because I was impatient. I wouldn't just, you know, do my part and let God do his part. I rushed things and I got little teeny tiny potatoes. Now, they were good, but they weren't plentiful. Church, we've got to allow God to do his part. We're commanded to do our part, but we need to allow God to do his part. Amen? Has God not always been faithful to you? Now, can I tell you what I learned this week, again, from my wife? Just about done, church. Y'all hold on. We have so much craziness going on in this world that we're focusing on the craziness more than God has called us, than what God has called us to do. When we do this, Satan wins. We are focusing on the craziness instead of what God has told us to do. We need to do what God has called us to do, and that is to sow the seed of the gospel. Right now, I want everybody in this room to stand up. Lee, hit that again. Now, these are her orders. She doesn't know that I was going to follow them to this degree. I want everybody in the room to stand up, take a deep breath. Let's look at those faces one more time here in a second. Just breathe. Church, it is our job to try every way possible to reach every single one of these people. Are you willing? Are you willing? Each one of these faces has a mother and a father and a brother and a sister and a grandparent that is praying for God that someone would love Jesus enough to reach them before it's too late. Will you be that person? Will you start right now by coming down to this altar and praying for those who do not want to be reached? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would move in a way that only you can. God, touch our hearts. Open our minds, let us feel your presence, and fall on our face before you to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. As the music starts playing, do you need to come?